After the Mabul, after the flood, we have, this is in Perek Tet, the ninth chapter, first pasuk, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the land. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon every bird of the heavens, and everything that moves on earth, and all the fish of the sea, in your hand they are given. Now there's a dominion that people have over the earth that wasn't there before the flood. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Before the flood, they weren't allowed to eat the flesh of animals. Like the green herbage, I've given you everything, but flesh with its soul, its blood you shall not eat. However, your blood, which belongs to your souls, I will demand of every beast, will I demand it, but of every man, for that of his brother, I will demand the soul of man. So, you're allowed to eat, but you're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal. And then it goes on to describe how careful we have to be that even animals are held responsible, which is an insight into its own, for taking the life of a human. However, what we're going to focus in on is Pasuk Vav. Whoever sheds the blood of man, which is murder, by man, shall his blood be shed from the image of God he made him. And you be fruitful, multiply, team on the earth, and multiply on it. And the connection between the two psukim we'll talk about soon, Rashi brings down. However, let's focus on this pasuk. Whoever sheds the blood of man by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God he made man. And this is one of the places, as the Ben Melech points out, this idea in source number 4 and 5 of not taking the life of another human being is found in everyone. In everyone. It's very fascinating. It's like a good, riddle to ask. What is one of those azharos, one of the warnings that's found mamish in every single one of the chumashim, and that is do not murder. You have in Shmot, Makeish Vameit, Mot Yumat. You kill somebody, you'll die. Veishki Akeno Kol Nefesh Adam, Mot Yumat. You have this in Sefer Vayikra. You have it in Sefer Bamidbar, as well as in Sefer Dvarim. Over and over again. And obviously, in each place, notes the Ben Melech Rav Mintzberg, there are nuances that are focused in on. By us, in source number 5, Kan Yiskar on the asterisk, Isur Ritzicha Milta Ba'alma. Kasher Hadam Hu Tzelem Elokim. Here, the focus in our pasuk of not to murder is that man is created in the image of God. Ubaro Kodesh Baruch Hu B'Tzamo B'Dmuto. Zeu Gufa Mechayev Shol Lishpoch Hadamo. The focus in our pasuk is not just the murder, but the reason why murder is so horrible is because man, or why we can't murder, is because man is created in the image of God. And by killing somebody, it's as if an affront to the honor of God himself, because every person is created in God's image, and therefore God is going to require the blood of anybody who is murdered. Our question for today is, let's try to understand, what is the severity of what murder is about, particularly with the focus in our pasuk of created in the image of God, ki b'tzelem Elokim asa et Adam, because man was created in the image of God. Why are the two connected? To try to understand that more deeply. And there is a very fascinating question that the Alshech HaKadosh points out. This is in source number 3. The word ba'adam is extra. If we take a look at the Hebrew in source 4, shofech dam ha'adam, one who sheds the blood, the dam ha'adam of a person. And then you have this word which is just dangling, ba'adam, in man. Damo yishafech, your blood is going to be spilled, which means that you are going to get punished. But the word ba'adam is extra. That's why if you take a look at Rabbi Artscroll, anytime you translate, you're explaining, he says, by man, shofech dam ha'adam, when you kill a person, ba'adam, by man, in contradistinction to the previous pasuk, which was by an animal, then you're liable. Nevertheless, it almost seems obvious that if it doesn't mention an animal, then who else would kill a person would be another person. So the word ba'adam is definitely extra. We need to be able to understand what this word ba'adam is all about. So let's try to understand what the idea of murder is about, how murder is relevant to our lives. You know, we take a look at a pasuk like this and say, well, you know, I don't go around murdering. This is not really as really relevant to my life. And we will see how it is very, very relevant to our lives, more relevant than we want to even imagine. And in each level, we'll see three levels in Mirat Hashem, and each level to be able to understand that nuance of Ba'adam. Level number one is a simple level. You can't murder. Source number six, Tal Leoros quotes Rav Shach Zatzel, Hati'u v'ashchata shebirtzicha halo heima minas golot harishono yitzokol be'erdab. You may say to yourself, why does the Chumashim have to tell me this? Like, this is something which everybody knows. You're not allowed to take the life of another person. So why does the Chumash have to go, first of all, to tell me this, and then to add, Ki b'tzelem Elokim asa et adam, because in the image of God, a person was created. So here, Rav Shach points out, Yarda Torah l'chulshat sichlo shel adam. Source 7, next page. The Torah enters into the weakness of the mindset of a person. She'ein lismoach el shikul daito. A person cannot be relied on to make rational decisions. Even when, logically, right, you know, of course you can't murder, like everyone knows that. Afal PK, nevertheless, kisha'ach tistovev nigiak tamna mina kina, o mina taiva o mina kavo. Suddenly, when a person's honor is at stake, when a person is jealous, when a person has desires, suddenly murder becomes, well, it's warranted. And look what they've done to me, and you know. And then when all those emotional stuff starts coming to the fore, we understand why a person may come, in fact, to murder another person. And indeed, my friends, you look at our society today, murder is something that's unfortunately very commonplace. And people will rationalize and will even sometimes say it wasn't so bad. They deserve to be murdered. And we've eschewed the whole idea of what murder is about. And no, know that every time you murder, you're affecting a person. You're affecting the Tzelem Elokim. L'lav decha ki l'lo yirat shamayim ein makom lismoch al dat adam. The only thing that's going to keep a person in check, that these different feelings won't overwhelm them, is only if a person has yirat shamayim, has the fear of heaven in them. And there's a very fascinating piece that the Kovetz Mamorim brings down based on the Zohar Kadosh in source number 9. Shekharish Baruch Hu Amar L'chol Abriya Kula Nasa Kulanu Yachad Adam Shekulanu Nishtatef B'Briyato. The Zohar Kadosh says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, Nasa Adam, let us make man, he meant that the entire creation should give part of its essence into man, which means in simple English that we are a compilation of the entire world, which means I have vegetative parts in me and I have animal parts in me, and every animal that you see in this world is found in me. I have the tiger part in me, I have the lion part in me, I have the cat part in me, I have the doggy dog world part in me. All of this is found as a conglomerate within a person. We are a miniature world. We have all the world, the angelic part in us and the animal part in us. So we have all the characteristics of all the animals in us. Now, if I were to tell you, you know, you ever go to one of these safaris where you drive through and there are lions, and they tell you, right, make sure you don't open your window, don't stick your head out, don't stick your hand out, right? You got to protect yourself. You know, those lions are fearsome. You ever been to one of these safaris in South Africa, these elephants can just stomp on your car, and there goes your car. And unfortunately, people in it as well. Animals have a very strong nature. So in order to keep these animals in check, you got to cage them in. Well, could you imagine having the lion and the tigers and the elephants and all these animals within us? What cages us in? What is the ability that a person isn't going to leash out at everyone and anything around them? And we have even something worse. We have, or better, depends how you look at it, we have the ability to speak. And speech, we know, has the ability to wreak havoc on this world. So he says in the Dada 9, Vadai Bara, the Omosha quotes, Gam Hashelshelet Lekoshro Shelo Yachriv Holam. Hashem also created the rope that's going to, or better than a rope, the iron chains that are going to chain us in. Umaya Shelshelet Hazo Zo Yirat Hashem. Asheraki Levada Bekocha Latzorat Adam Shelo Yeh Kocheha Terefet. The only way that we can be reined in is something called Yiras Hashem, right? By Avraham Avinu, when it comes to Avimelech, Rak Ein Yirat Elokim B'Makom Hazeh, there's no fear of God in this place, he says. If there's no fear of God, people take people's wives without even thinking twice. The Yirat Elokim, Yesh Din V'Yesh Dayan, that there's a judge and there's a judgment and that we have to answer to a higher call, this is what keeps a person in check. Yimsash V'Yesh Adam Nishar b'tivo, when a person doesn't allow that Yiras Hashem to enter into them, and they're going to be the regular animalistic part of self, ba'al lachmor v'litavo, then they're going to come to desire, ein lecha mashiuchal lamod mignegdo, there's nothing going to stop them, v'limnoa tome lamota v'tov v'rutzono, and that's the idea of shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam. A person who kills another person is ba'adam. It's the adam part of them. It's the adama part of them. It's that part of them that hasn't allowed themselves to be raised to a higher level. The Pasuk is telling us, Shofech Dam Hadam, what is going to allow one person to kill another? It's the Ba'adam. It's the Adam part, that the holistic part of us that isn't raised to a higher level, that this is what's going to have the ability to kill another person. Rav Zweig, in Infinity of Torah, takes this idea of murder and brings it a little bit closer to home. And he says, Rashi, we alluded to this before, asks the question, what is the connection between our pasuk and the next pasuk? Be fruitful and multiply. And Rashi tells us, according to the Medrash, this equates a person who does not engage in procreation with one who spills blood. The Medrash quoted by Rashi makes an incredibly surprising statement. How could the Torah equate the sin of failing to have children with murdering another human being? True, the person who does not have children is guilty of not having brought life into the world. But is that comparable to the act of snuffing out an already existing human life? And obviously, what it means that a person does not engage in procreation has to be understood. You know, it's very complex. So let's just understand it on the simple way. One can have kids. One says it's not financially viable for me to have a child, whatever excuses that they make. Not that one, again, using common sense and halacha. The Gemara states in Masechet Nita, the son of David, Mashiach will not come until all the neshamos and the guf, rooms where the souls are kept, have been used up. In simple terms, this means the Mashiach cannot arrive until all the people who are supposed to be born have come into the world. In order to achieve its purpose, the world must reach a certain optimum state of perfection, and every individual in the world has its own unique contribution to make for this perfection to be realized. Therefore, the act of murder has ramifications beyond the heinous sin. By removing another human being from the world, the murderer has prevented him from making the contributions that only he was destined to make. The same tragedy takes place when a person fails to engage in procreation. The potential children they failed to bring into the world have their own unique contributions to make. By neglecting his responsibility to have children, he has denied the world those contributions. And in effect, he has caused the world to be incomplete. Though while the act of not having children may not be seen severe as the act of murder, the severity of the consequences is the same. And just to know parenthetically in source number 8, we know that every time a person is murdered, not only are you murdering him, you're murdering his potential children as well. So we're talking about thousands of people that could be born, right? And that's why the Holocaust was so devastating. Aside from the 6 million people, it's those 6 million people that would have created many more people. And that's why we have to understand that murder is not just taking away one soul. It's taking away many souls that will come from that soul, as well as all the effects that that soul can have achieved in this world that can no longer be achieved because this person is no longer here. So the effects of, this is again the idea of Kibitzelim Elohim, we're created in the image of God, that we all have a purpose in this world, and the effects of one who is murdered is beyond a person even understanding. That's why he continues in source number 10 in the arrow, the impact of murder on the world is indeed more severe than any other sin. The destructive effect of murder is removal of a contributor to the world's perfection exceeds the destructive consequences of any other sin, and therefore the punishment is truly a greater punishment. Now, Rav Schwein brings it home a little bit closer. He says in source 12, as little as 50 years ago, people instinctively recognized that murder is a terrible thing. In this parasha, the Torah emphasizes that murder is wrong because man is created in divine image. Hence, a person who takes a life actually destroys the image of God. Long ago, this very recognition was as innate part of the human psyche. But over the past few decades, society's perceptions have become warped to the point that it's no longer recognized. So we talk about murder. We're talking about recognizing that a person's value and what they can contribute has been taken away from the world. Recognizing it's only Yiras Shamayim, the fear of God, that can stop a person from actually committing murder. Rav Schwein now takes it one step further and says this idea of destroying a life, creating the image of God, which was something that was so basic to the fabric of human society, has become skewed in the last number of years. And here are some examples that he mentions. Today, society has made a complete about-face. Nowadays, a person who feels that it's wrong for a woman to take the life of her unborn child is viewed as someone who harbors twisted views. Even though a doctor performed such an act several decades ago, it would have been shunned by the medical community. Society has the same disdain for a person who finds fault with the notion of two people of the same gender, quote-unquote, marrying each other, a union that can never produce children. Most of the world today feels that disapproving of these practices is itself a perversion of morality, and that's a fundamental flaw in contemporary society. Why are we living? And we have to recognize that we're living in such a twisted world that men become women become men, and that men marry men, women marry women. Aside from the Isser and the Torah, we're taking away the ability to have more children in this world. And that's a form of murder. That's a form of taking away the potential of growth in this world, moving the world to its ultimate completion. The backward thinking of contemporary society undermines the very essence of the human condition. Today, an athlete who can earn many millions of dollars every year, while scientists who toil to discover cures for disease are paid only a fraction of that. What does that tell us about the value society places on human life? The rampant devaluing of a human being only serves to extinguish the motivation for people to perfect themselves. As Jews, we must recognize that morality is not determined by the constantly degenerating societal norms of acceptable behavior, but rather by the eternal truth that is set forth in the Torah. I once heard a Maisa, don't remember the exact details, where there was, this is pre-COVID, there was a time when people were suffering from some type of, again, I don't know if you want to call it a plague or something, where people have difficulty breathing. And there were X amount of machines that were available to in the hospitals to help people breathe. And an elderly man, around 86, came into Shaare Tzedek Hospital and in the emergency room. And there was a young doctor on call. And he called Rav Avraham Ben Avraham, a very famous personality of Shaare Tzedek, and said, "We don't have a breathing machine for him. He's 86. You know, we need it for the younger people, so we have no option but to let him die." And the response was, "Absolutely not. You don't have a breathing machine, so then you will set up a round of people all night till the machine gets available from wherever you can get one, and you will be a manual breathing machine into this individual." And that's exactly what happened. And they took rotations of breathing into him. And the end of the story is that he got better and he walked out of the hospital a few days later. Right? We're very careful, right? And the European the countries that, you know, old people are, you know, disposable. We don't have to care for them. This is not the Jewish view. Everyone is created in the image of God, and you have to do whatever you need to do to keep a person alive. And that tantamount focus on the life of every human being is what makes Jews Jews. And this is something that Kadosh Baruch Hu has set up into the world, not only for the Jews, that murder is one of the seven mitzvot of Noahide laws. This is a basic human understanding that man is created in the image of God, and therefore you have to do whatever you need to do to ensure that their life is taken into that understanding. That, my friends, is level number one. It's this basic understanding. A person has to be careful not to kill another person, has to bring as many people into this world and understand the repercussions of taking a life from this world. And that's the idea of Shofer Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam. If you kill somebody, it's the Adam part of you. It's the Adama part of you. That's the conglomerate of all the different aspects of creation that have caused this to happen. Okay. That's level number one. Again, relevant, but not perhaps as relevant as level number two and three. Murder takes on a different form, and that's level number two. The Or Daniel quotes the famous Gemara, Matzian, source 13. Kol hamalbim pnei chaveiro berabim ki'ilu shofech domim. When one is malbim pnei chaveiro, embarrasses a person publicly, it's as if you've committed murder. And the Alshe HaKadosh explains the difference between murder and embarrassment. When you kill somebody with your hands, then the blood leaves the person's face. But with habaras panim, hadam nishar bekerav hadam atzmo, elo nishmach mimakom lemakom. It's still found in the person. It just goes up and down. That when a person gets embarrassed first, their face turns all red of embarrassment. Then their face gets drained of all the blood, and then the embarrassment comes back, and their face becomes red again, and then it's drained again, and it goes back and forth, red, white, red, white. The Zeu Shamar Shofech Dam Ha'adam in the asterisk in 13, that's Pshat in the Pasuk, that if you kill the blood of a person, Ba'adam, inside a person, Bikirbo, B'tokufo, B'sarro, Oto Dabo Yishafech, when you kill Shofech Dam Ha'adam, you spill the blood, Ba'adam, in that person you're spilling the blood. It's not just spilling the blood in that person and they die, but you're spilling it ba'adam inside the person itself, that they go from red to white, red to white. And that's why, in a certain sense, va'avon zeh kasheh yoter ma'hargo, it's even worse than killing somebody because it's a continuous cycle. the Code of Jewish Conduct, Source 15, publicly shaming another Jew is tantamount to shedding blood, since one of the barrels of blood is literally drained from the victim's face. If someone makes a habit of this despicable behavior, he goes down to the depths of a Gehenna, no portion of Olam Haba, and we'll touch on that as well. Chazal say one should rather let himself be thrown into a fiery furnace than expose another person to public shame. We learned this from Yehuda and Tamar. Medrash Tanhuma cites a similar example, where Yosef ordered everyone out of his chambers before revealing himself to his brothers to spare them from shame. By doing so, he was risking his life, since at that point Yehuda was furious and ready to attack him. Nevertheless, he preferred to risk being killed rather than to embarrass his brothers in public. Why do we consider death preferable to embarrassing someone publicly? So one explanation is, Sefer Chassidim adds that given the choice, the victim will choose to die rather than suffer embarrassment. It's like you're living with this embarrassment over and over again. You can't show your face in public. It's like walking death. And that is akin to murder. And in Source 14, Halbanos panim hi larbe poskim mifchinat yehereg val yavor. There's a certain aspect of to be killed rather than to kill. And the Marsha writes, Shalbanat panim hu isur she'ein ha'olam nisarim bo b'chol yom. Very interesting Marsha, who says that while we're very careful about many halachot, right? You know, you have a milchik spoon that lands up in the fleshach side, ay gevalt. Did I mix something with the milchik spoon? Was it hot? Was it cold? How did it land here? And we go crazy about this milchik spoon that landed up on the fleshach side, which was probably, you know, didn't do anything, but just someone put it there without thinking, right? But we just go crazy, you know, what should I do with the spoon? V'chule, v'chule. So there's so many halachas that we're so careful about that. But says the Marsha, the idea of habanos panim, of embarrassing somebody, is something that the people are over, that people encounter b'chol yom, every single day, and people are not careful about it. So, the truth is, my friend, that just like everything else, there are many, many halachos about habanos panim, about not embarrassing somebody, and things that are connected with embarrassing people, that if we thought about, we say, oh yeah. And I want to share a number of them with the caveat that this is just not even the Xayamas leg. It's not even the tip of the iceberg. And these are halachos that have to be learned. And it's like really chaval that, you know, we're so careful to teach our kids the halachos of Shabbos and Kashrus, which again, I'm not in any way minimizing, but we don't spend as much time in teaching them these basic halachos of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And particularly in our society, when bullying has, you know, reached epic proportions, this is something that's so fundamental to be able to teach kids at a very young age that one who's involved in bullying is mamish involved in murder. And anyone who's dealt with kids who've been bullied know that it has an effect on kids for years to come. It's mamish, a walking murder. So let's share some ideas that are connected just for a few minutes with this idea of not embarrassing somebody, and again, embarrassment being akin to murder, and to see how we meet up with these or aspects of these on a very, really on a daily basis. And this is Shofer Dam Adam Ba'adam, where we kill a person Ba'adam inside of them. They're alive and well, but we're killing them. So first and foremost, understand in Habanos Panim in 16 that it's also Besida. It's also in private. Yisrael Banos Panim Kayam Gam Kasher Mivasho Besina Shelo Benochachad Achemri. Sometimes we just think. Language from the Gemara is that Amabi Pnei Chaveiro Berabi, and if you embarrass someone publicly, but privately, you can embarrass someone. No. The Gam Kishemit Vayeshim Salvado Ven Ishroeo Aflo Adama Vayesho Sor Levayesho. Even if the person isn't standing in front of you, they're on the telephone, you write them a letter, anything that's going to embarrass them, you are over on this love. So to recognize this, So it's not, you know, people say, well, you know, only if they publicly feel embarrassed. No, you can be in a private conversation and you, no one's on the phone, and you say things that really embarrass them and make them feel bad. That is also over habanos panim. Now, what are some of the corollaries? So one of them is, with a lot of halachas connected to this, the name you call somebody. Calling somebody a nickname that they're uncomfortable with or embarrassed with. Im chaveiro 17 mitbayesh b'shem zeh. If your friend is embarrassed by this name, you're not allowed to call them this name, even if your intention is not to embarrass them. Ever calls him Shmuel Shorty. That's ever knows him that way. If that's going to embarrass him, you're not allowed to call him that name. They said in the name of the Chazon Ish that he said that you shouldn't call somebody a Yekka, because that's giving a, you know, calling somebody a name. You should say, our brothers from the land of Germany, from the, instead of calling somebody a Yekka. So this is, it's interesting. Like, you know, you may say a person doesn't mind being called that. So again, if you're so careful about not giving anybody any type of kinui, any type of description that may embarrass somebody. 18. Mitzuyim b'nei adam sheish lahem shnei shemot. Sometimes people have a Jewish name and a shem luasi, and a secular name. If they are embarrassed by their secular name to, you know, say, oh, we're old friends, and call them by their secular name, that would also be involved in this. I have a very good friend who I knew in her secular name, and now she doesn't go by her secular name. So to call her a secular name would be embarrassing her. And you're not allowed to do that. You have to only use the name that they're comfortable with. Right? And again, sometimes these are, you know, names that have just stuck with people. I've taught kids whose names are Cookie. Now, I've heard many different nicknames, Cookie. I've taught more than one Cookie. You have to ask them, do you like the name Cookie? I mean, is this something that, you know, you're comfortable with? If yes, great. If not, this was a name that got stuck with them, then you can't call them that. Adam sheishlo shnei shemot. Let's say a person has two names. And again, there's a big inyan to at least once a day call a person by both of their names, because a name is the essence. And this is just an interesting idea in general. When you name a child and when you interact with people, you want to be able to bring the full force of the person. Again, the name is the essence. So if a person, I always say this to my friends who've named their kids Yosef Shalom for Rav Yoshev Zatzal. So to call him Yosef, Yossi, Shalom, without Yosef Shalom, you've taken away the koach of Yosef Shalom. Let there be more peace in this world. So the koach of Yosef, the koach of Shalom, whatever the two names are, really, in the ideal world, is to call them by both names. At least once a day, be able to tap into the kochos of this person. However, if a person is embarrassed by one of those names, then you're not allowed sorely krolo b'shem hasheni lamrochezo shmo amiti, even though it's his name or her name, and that's their essence. If it's going to be something that's going to embarrass them, you can't do it. And that's why he notes in the asterisks in 18 in Yud Beis, ra'ui ma'od sharim lo yitnu livnamo levitam shem shayelad alul libayeshbo. A parent should be very careful not to give their son or daughter a name that they know they will be embarrassed by. Sheshem zeo karof mishpacha, even though, you know, Yenta Fega, whatever, you know, is a name in the family. And parents who, and again, depending what society you live in a Hasidic world, that may be a very common name. Parents who are not careful about this are part of creating this busha for their children. So ask yourself, and that's why there are many rabbanim who say that if the, you know, grandparent, great-grandparent had a Yiddish name, Fega, turn it into a Jewish name, Sipora. Right, it's Jewish counterpart, the Hebrew counterpart, rather. because the child may be embarrassed to go to school in America in, you know, 2021 with the name Fega, and you know what the kids will will make fun of them. I always wanted to name a child Yuska Hoover. And my husband said to me, they're going to call them, then living in America, Yitza, and Hoover, like a Hoover vacuum cleaner. And these are not names you want to name your children. And if you have that fear, then don't name your kids those names that have that potential of causing them this. 19. Asur lichtov lechalyan This is something which, unfortunately, is very prevalent that we're not as careful about. And that is not to make up gramen or songs that are going to embarrass people. People think that Purim and Sheva Brachot, there are times that give you license to say whatever you want. And at the time, people may be laughing, but inside they are broken and embarrassed beyond belief. If you make up gramen are beautiful. Don't say anything that's going to embarrass the person. Music, song, Purim does not give license. So what we've seen here is that murder is not just taking somebody's blood away from them. It's taking somebody's blood away from their face. It's about that feeling of a person just wants to be, you know, like, dead rather than alive out of embarrassment, to be careful not to say things publicly or privately that are going to embarrass a person. This is something we meet on a continuous basis. And again, we're now moving to the ripple effects of embarrassment, which include names of a person, not to call someone by a nickname that they don't like, making sure you call people by names that are appropriate for them, making sure that you don't sing songs that are going to embarrass somebody. I'm just going to add one more aspect to this idea of embarrassment before understanding this a little bit deeper, and that's the idea of a mitkaben kolon chaveiro, not to feel the pride at the expense of somebody else. Also, ein lo chelok lom haba, also doesn't have a portion in the world to come. What does this mean? So he explains. One is, kasher adam gorim kolon v'klima l'sheni, when you make someone else feel bad, and at the same time, you make yourself with more kavod, with more honor. And by making yourself more honorable, you're putting your friend down. And the other is, kasher adam eno gorim kolon v'klima l'zulato. It's not when you're directly putting somebody down, but you clearly show that yourself compared to this person is far greater. So one is just saying, you know, this is, they're really no good, and the other is when I look at myself and I realize how great I am, and in that sense the comparison puts another person down. Let's give some examples for both of these. One is, a speaker gets up as a second speaker, and the first speaker was really boring. And the second speaker says, well, my friends, I'm sure you've had a very good nap and you're well rested, so now I can tell you an interesting story. Right? So clearly what they were doing was putting the other one down and raising themselves up. Another example, 21A. When a father's complaining how his children don't listen to him, this friend says, my children listen to me like a clock. I don't allow them to be mezalzel, to put me down in any way. Right? Again, making himself feel better over his friend. A mother-in-law says to a daughter-in-law, my daughter isn't as mefuneket as, good word for mefuneket, I don't know. Even when she's not feeling well, her house looks spick and span. Persamot. Advertisements that say, we compared to the other, they don't have any, you know, people coming to them, look how many people we have coming to us. You can speak about, look how many people coming to us without putting the other one down. So in E, where a private kindergarten teacher says to a mother, I heard that registration is down in all the kindergartens in this area. You better sign up by me because the registration is really tight. And again, registration is based on popularity of the teachers. You know, talking about private little playgroups. Again, saying, look how great I am compared to everyone around them. A doctor that says, I'm booked solid this month. Why don't you go to my friend? I hear he has a lot of open appointments. Again, it's by shiduchim. This happens very frequently. You have to be careful. You know, an example that you have in school where the kids have a trip, and the next day the teacher says, who did the homework? So everyone looks around. We had a trip yesterday, Rebbe. We could do the homework. And one kid said, I did the homework. Right? That's putting himself at the expense of his friends. Look how great I am, putting his friends down, that I was able to do the homework when, even though we had a trip. These are nuances that we step on all the time, right? I would never dream of, don't even think about being mishadech me with that family. You want me to even think about that family? There are ways of saying it, and there are ways of saying it, and there's ways of embarrassing people, and the ways of making yourself feel better. My friends, this is shofer dam ha'adam ba'adam. You're killing people inside of them. And we step on this all the time. Tiva Torah, lamadu medivrei ha'targum, shetam ha'davar sheshis v'her b'shmiro chayei adam. Why do we have to be so careful about other people and their feelings? It's because the end of the pasuk, because we are created for the image of man. We were created. We have to be careful to honor a person because they are tzelem Elokim mamish. And if we are mezalzel, if we are going to make light of a person, we're going to embarrass them, we're going to put them down, we're going to, whatever it is, make comparisons like this, we're going to call them by names that they're not comfortable with, we are mezalzeling b'tzelem Elokim mamish. We're playing with fire. We're playing with the image of God itself. And this is b'feirush Mishneh Pirkei Avos, chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem. How special, how beloved is the person created in the image of God, how beloved that they know they're created in the image of God. A person has to be very careful, b'kvod chaveiro, with the honor of another person. What exactly is it tzelem Elokim? I just want to add a parenthesis here. It's very deep. Matzah tzelem Elokim, the Shirei Chumash, the Nefesh HaChaim speaks about most of the Zohar, which is obviously beyond our purview, deals with the Tzelem Elokim. What we can understand is that Hashem has given every person, Mashpia al-Adam, two types of light, what we call energy. There's an Or Pnimi, there's an inner light, Or Eloki, a godly light, and then there's an Or, a light, a shadow, which surrounds the person, which we call an Or Makif, a surrounding light of a person, which is also a godly light. So there's a light in a person, there's a surrounding light beyond a person, and that's what guards a person. Mahu mahut, or penimiva, or makif. How are they actually functioning? That's sitrei Torah, that's the secrets of the Torah. What we need to know is that both of these are found within a person. And in order for our neshama, our soul, and we only have a part of our soul found inside of ourselves. Most of our soul is up in heaven. The root is in heaven. Only a small part of it enters into our body. What enables the neshama to be able to live in that physical body is this light. Zewat selam elokima or pnimisha badam mekabel aidea selam elokima set taguf l'klish yuchal kabel to neshama. This inner light enables a physical body to be able to hold the supernal light. So we have to understand that when we're dealing with other people, what we're really dealing with is the Tzelem Elokim. We're dealing with the godly light. We're dealing with this energy from above. So when I look at another person, I shouldn't just see another person, the physical, you know, contours of a person. What I have to be able to see is beyond that physical part, the Tselem Elokim, the Or Makiv, the outer light that surrounds the person, the inner light that's found in the person, the Neshama. This is a Tselem Elokim. This is the image of God that we are dealing with. And this, my friends, the Haros Derech in 26 says, Adam ro'ed zulato mitoch matzav nasho. How am I able really to see this godly light in another? It's really the way you look at yourself. Im zachal l'romamut primit ro'ehu et haromut shebriyahu b'nivraim. If a person is able to access that godly soul and light within themselves, they'll be able to see it in others. Im hu shafel, if you look at yourself in a lowly way, ro'ehu b'kol acharak makraot, then you only see the negative. To be able to see greatness and godliness, you have to be able to access the light that's found within you. And that's why he said, when a person kills another person, lo aleinu, hu ratzach et gufo, you've killed his physical body. And the arrow, second arrow in 26. Hamal bin pnei chaveru baragu. If you embarrass somebody, if you call somebody a name, a nickname they don't like, if you make fun of a person, if you, you know, raise yourself up at the expense of another person, all these wonderful things that lead to the embarrassment of another person, ratzach et kvodo, you've killed their honor, you've killed a part of their tselem eloki, you've killed a part, ba'adam, you've killed them inside of them. And that's why, what we mentioned before, a person loses Olam Haba. Why? Vaharei Olam Haba, he Olam HaNeshamos. Because what is Olam Haba? Olam Haba, we don't know what it is. But in our limited understanding, it's a world of souls. Olam Shekulo Neshama, a world that's completely of souls. Olam Shel Atzilos, a higher world. Adamu Sugala Pnim. If you have the ability to embarrass somebody, if you have the ability not to be sensitive to a person's spiritual part, then it's really a reflection that you have lost your own godly part in you. You're a person of gasos, you're a person of pure physicality. You can't think about another person's spiritual lesson. All you think about is yourself and making yourself feel good. A person who has devalued somebody else is really a reflection that they have no value within themselves, that their spiritual value has fallen tremendously, and therefore it's not a punishment, it's a consequence. If you have the ability not to be sensitive to somebody else's spirituality, it's really a reflection within you that you've lost a certain sense of spiritual understanding. And therefore, the natural consequence is you can't be somebody who's going to enjoy the world of the neshama, the world of the soul, because you're not living with that understanding and reality of your own soul. And that's why Kishabad 27 Larchika Tadam Otaha Veira Chamura Shebechamurot, when the Torah is telling us how careful you have to be not to embarrass somebody, not to kill somebody, it focuses in on here that a person is created B'Tselem Elokim, and therefore doing these things Ki'ilu Dab, underline in 27 Hu Mimayit Et Tadmut, you're lessening the image of this person. And upagabed yukunasho mala, and you're affecting kivyachu, the image of a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. Hashkafa muka vermut hore lanu chazel. When I understand this, it gives me a whole different view of my interaction with people. And he says this so beautifully at the end of 29b, where he says, this should fill us with trepidation and joy at the same time. And he brings the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu when he wakes up from his dream of the ladder, and he says, "Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, behold, there is God in this place, va'anochi lo yadati, and I didn't know. Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Kishe'anu ba'im lidei akarut gadlut ha'adam u'makomo ba'olam. When I see the greatness of a person, and that the fact that they're created in the image of God, I should be filled with awe, like Yaakov Avinu. Manora makom hazeh, how awesome is this place? Ein Adam Elujukiyam Shamala, person created in the image of God. Manorahu Hanochi Shibikirbo Vanochi Lo Yadati. How great is the I, the neshama found in a person, Vanochi Lo Yadati. And I didn't know this. I wasn't aware of this. I wasn't clued in. My friends, what this pasuk is telling us is the sensitivity that every person needs to have to every creation created in the image of God. Because this is a reflection of godliness himself. And therefore, the sensitivity, and that's really the yisod of what Yiddishkeit is about. It's about sensitivity. It's not just keeping a person breathing into them physically alive, it's keeping them spiritually alive. The sensitivity of the way people feel, and how careful we have to be, how we have to word things, and how we have to be cautious. You know, it brings to mind, just entered into my head, I remember once giving a shiur, and I don't know, I was telling a story about a wedding, and one of my kids afterwards said to me, Ema, didn't you realize that sitting there was a woman who just lost her husband? Weren't you aware that that story may have made her feel bad? And I'm like, no, I wasn't aware. No, I wasn't focused. And then, you know, the thought comes into your head, like, we don't know who's standing in front of you. You don't know what you're saying. It's like a pachat, that something may trigger something in somebody else. So we're able to be as careful as we're able to be. However, when you are aware, and when you do know how extra careful a person has to be. A person was telling me recently, they said they never ask somebody how many children they have, because you never know that such a personal question can trigger such a response. And there are certain questions that we have to use our sense not to ask. Source dirty. The upshot of this, my friends, that when I realize that every person is created in the image of God, that leads to being able to have Ava Sabrios. That leads us, not just to sensitivity and awareness of what not to say, but to be able to love people. And says Rav Elia Lopian at 30, at the end, he says the sensitivity not to, you know, walking quietly with a roommate who's sleeping and being sensitive to the needs of others. Zenoveh mitoch avat chesed, it's coming from a love of kindness. Haba mitoch ava sabrios, which is coming from a love of creatures. Haba mitoch emuna, which is coming from the belief. Shabbatzelam elokim, asad tadam, that every person is created in the image of God. And this godliness is found over each and every person. Not to kill somebody literally, not to kill somebody emotionally, and finally, my friends, the third level of not to murder. V'im ko chashuv hu anivra b'tzelem elokim b'karei shmo rav Birnbaum, shemiv shemafsid oto ne'arag, tzrichim anu lefached. If we see how terrible murder is, we have to be careful. Shema gam anachdu mafsidim et tzelem elokim b'karei shmo rav natan lanu tzelem. We have to be careful within ourselves. V'im ein anu mishtamshim bo kechol yecholteinu, are we using what Hashem has given us to our fullest potential? It's not just killing others. Are we killing ourselves? Are we not using what Hashem has given us for what Hashem wants us to have? And this is what we have to understand. 32. Kol darchei chayim achumriyim o musarim, chayei tzibur, chayei yachim minalim apim midat akarat erech atzmo. The fundamental aspect in life is a person has to recognize who they are. Ha'ani badat v'karat atzmo, harei mezalzel ba'atzmo. If you have a very flippant attitude, oh, I'm not a big deal, I'm not nothing, you're being mezalzel. You are making light of yourself and the tzelem elokim in you. A person has to realize their greatness, that they are found on planet Earth. And when you realize this, that you're created b'tzelem elokim, you realize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has very big dreams for you. Hakarat Chibaya Terazu 33a. This has to be fundamental within us to be able to do the best that we can in every aspect of our lives. Velotzia Lapolo Mashiyeshbo Bekoach Lidamod El Mashidimu Yotzro. We are created in the image of God. We have God-like attributes. Zek Kelivan Feo, this is my God, and I will emulate him. I have the ability to be God-like. And when I recognize this, and I recognize the Chiba Yisera, the belovedness that Hashem has told me this, this is my mantra to make sure that I don't kill myself. We have the idea of killing time. Every time we kill time, we're killing part of ourselves that could use this time to make the world a better place. Just like killing somebody, as we saw, is taking away from what the world could have benefited from, what this person could have produced. Every time we live in this world and we fritter away hours, you know, just surfing the web, what could we have done during this time? There's an accountability of that time that we utilize it appropriately. And this, my friends, is the greatness of a person. And the way the Omosha describes it is he says, imagine you have a poor person who walks around, you know, in rags and tatters and worries all day how to make ends meet. And then after 30 years, somebody says to him, I don't really get you, right? You know, you have a treasure. You know, it's like the person who got the Swiss bank account number from his father, who was told it to a friend, right, you know, before they died in the war. And this guy lived his whole life poor till he found out that he had a Swiss bank account the whole time. He could be living the richest life. Could you imagine if you walk around in tatters and wondering where you're going to get money from, and you had a fortune hiding in your living room? My friends, we have a fortune hiding it within ourselves. That fortune is the greatness of who we are. And we walk around feeling Adam Yikar Yovim. We were so special, and we walk around not appreciating the greatness of ourselves, and that is murder. As the Sitka Sadik Reb Sadok says in 35, just like a person has to believe in Hashem, Kach Saricha Charkach, then second is a person has to believe in themselves. And that Hashem cares about a person, and Hashem is invested in a person, and that we are created in the image of Hashem. And this is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. We just came off of Elul. First, you have to have the Ani. You have to know who you are. You have to know how special you are, and then you can begin going out and having this relationship. They say once that somebody complained to the Manchester Rav, Mantras Rosh Yeshiva, about the song Ana Avda Dekutcha Brichu, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for you, where the word Ana is repeated over and over again. I'm sure you heard it on Simple Star a lot, one of the songs that's sung, Ana, 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 Avda Dekutcha Brichu. So it should be, the focus should be on Avda, the servant. Why is the focus on Ana, Ana? The person made up the song, shouldn't be singing it. So he says, no, 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 Adraba. Sarichli Zaher Trilar Be Pamim Ani Ani Ani. A person has to believe in themselves. They have to believe that they're an entire world, and only then they can have a relationship with Hashem. They know Hashem exists, but they don't feel that they're worth anything, so then their life is going to be not lived up to their full potential. And this explains, on a deeper level, says Rav Brazil Mishvili Nivar Olam in the asterisks in 35, the bottom one, where it means that the Nachash Hitil Zuhama has put some type of poison into person. What was the Zuhama? So you see from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Chava says, Hanachash Hishiani Va'ocha. The Nachash enticed me and I ate. Hishiani, enticed me, is made up of two words. Hayesh Ani. What was the Zuhama? What was the poison the Nachash put into me? Am I special or not? Am I worthy or not? When you have that question, then you're able to, from the Yitz HaDaat, you're able to do everything in this world because you don't feel your value. Rabbeinu Yerucham writes, Avera Gedola hi shadam ani yode et chesronotav. It's a big sin if you don't know what your weaknesses are. Ulam Avera Gedola od yoter hi sheino yode malatav. But even a bigger problem is if you don't know your greatnesses. You don't know your strength. Shofech dam ha'adam. When a person kills another person, level one ba'adam, with the adama part of them, with the animalistic part of them, damo yishafech, they have to suffer the consequence. On level number two, shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam. When you kill another person, ba'adam, inside of that person, you have their blood going from white to red, and they're walking around embarrassed. Damo yishafech. And the third level, shofech dam ha'adam, if you kill the blood of a person, ba'adam. What person are we talking about? Within yourself. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam. Within you, you're shofech dam ha'adam. Damo yishafech. You're also held responsible. That after 120 years, the question that we're asked, more than any other question is, with all that I've given you, with all of life, with all the kochos hanefesh I've given you, how come you didn't become the person I envisioned you to become, the person I sent down to do this job in this world? And that, my friends, when we take a look at this pasuk, whoever sheds the blood of man, and we say, well, I don't shed blood of man, stop. Understand that shedding blood of man on level one is the importance of the human life. On the most literal level, understanding the importance of human life on the emotional level, and understanding the human life on the personal level, where every person needs to value themselves, to value what they can contribute to this world, to be able to feel, I was created in the image of God, I have a job to do, and I have to make sure not to squander all the precious gifts that Hashem has given me, rather to utilize them to build this world, to make it a godly place.